This morning I'm going to be talking about blessedness. It's a funny title, it's a bit archaic, you might say. Well, what I want to talk is how to be a happy person. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Who wants to be happy? Who is happy? Yay! Not all of you. Okay, well, that's fine. Let's hope that by the end you'll all want to be happy people. You might think, that's frivolous, Dave. It's a bit frivolous. Well, actually, you know, you talked about the guys in Zambia, you know, being happy and sort of full. That's actually the state that God wants us to be in. Because that's the state he's in, okay? God is a happy God. I don't mean that he's a frivolous God, but he's happy. I just want to look at that this morning. And the world can define it. You know, there are people out there looking for fulfillment and happiness, contentment, whatever you might want to call it. But when you look into this kinds of happiness, it's very intangible. It can mean all sorts of things to all sorts of people with a wide variation. There's a wide variation on how you achieve or how this happiness comes about. And I started looking for things, films, I mean, and all sorts of things. So I've got a few clips just to show you.
Happiness, happiness, the greatest gift that I possess. I thank the Lord that I've been blessed with more than my share of happiness.
Could have chose lots more. Sorry about Ken Dodd. Yeah, he's a character. If you're ever tempted to go to one of his shows, be prepared. He doesn't take the first half break until 10:30 or thereabouts, okay? So you're there till 12:30, maybe going on to 1:00. If he's in the mood, it'll go longer, okay? Anyway, that's beside the point. But what does God think about happiness? Does he have a view on happiness? Well, let's look at what the Bible says, because that's what we're here doing this morning. And what I want to take us to is the book of Psalms. And we want to look at the first psalm there. And just before Karen comes, Karen's going to come and read it, because she's much better reader than it. She reads to me every night and sends me to sleep. not her voice, but it's just soothing. Do you get read to? It's lovely. Anyway, last week, Keith talked, and I listened to his tape, and do listen to the sermons on the website as well. Keith talked about our inadequacy, and how that inadequacy is overcome by and fulfilled and made up with his total sufficiency. That's my summary of it in one sentence. Our inadequacy is made up and totally overcome by his total sufficiency. The psalmist, don't know who wrote Psalm 1, but the psalmist kind of picks up on this. Okay, Karen, thanks.
Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates I was mentioned before, he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf doesn't wither. Whatever he does prospers. I think Dave Usher's a bit like that. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the ways of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
Thanks, Karen. It was supposed to be on the screen for you. I don't know what happened to that slide. Oh, it has disappeared off of there as well. Okay, right, Psalms. Let's just do a little bit of background work on Psalms. Yeah, okay. In Hebrew, the word, the name for this book of Psalms is Tehillim, where Tehillah gets her name from, and means praise, is basically. Yeah, you agree with that? Well, yeah, okay, that's great. The words, so how, the Jewish name of Tehillim, how does it become Psalms? Well, the translation of the Greek translation of the word is psalmoi. Of Tehillim to Greek is psalmoi. And it means actually instrumental music, but it also comes from a root word which also means to sing. Salo is to sing, okay? So this is a kind of the background of stuff. As you may well know, there are 150 psalms in this book. I don't know whether you know, but actually the book was divided into five books. Okay, each book ends with a blessing or a benediction of these chunks. The other thing, just while we're on that, the Old Testament, when it was written, is one continuous text, and no chapters, no divisions, or those sorts of things, except for the Psalms. They were always individual chunks. They were always clearly definable pieces of text. Okay, another interesting thing about it. whoops, there was one there. It was the hymn book. It's the hymn book of the Bible, of the song book that Jesus and the disciples would have used, and the early church would have used. So coming to this book is very, very important. It has many themes, as I'm sure you know. It has themes of praise, lament, cries for help, all sorts of things. Sometimes the psalmist gets really uptight and irritated with God. God is big enough to kind of take it. Oh, that's where Psalm 1 was. It somehow got out of order. There is actual Psalm 1. We've looked at that and read that, so we'll move on. So, this wonderful book. We're looking at this Psalm 1 again. and it's just interesting. We need to look at this. Psalm 1 is kind of like the thing that sets the whole book of the Psalms up. As I said, we don't know who wrote it. There's no sort of inscription. Some of the psalms have inscriptions as who wrote it. But it sort of summaries in many different ways the rest of the psalms that are coming your way. But greater than that, the psalm also looks backwards, it looks forwards, and it looks upwards. So it's a psalm that points in all sorts of directions. It looks backwards. Maybe the tree of life, in the tree in the garden, where it talks about the person who's planted like a tree. And there's the picture of the tree in the garden. Also, you find the tree, many trees in the Bible. You can talk about the tree of life. You can talk about the tree, the cross at Calvary. And you can talk about the tree of that right at the end of Revelation. So this tree of light is, and this man or this person, his delight is in the instruction of God, the very words of God. It also looks up. It also tells us that God is watching over you. Now, that isn't kind of like a worldly watching. You know, some people who kind of have a view of God, he's like the clockmaker who wound the whole thing up and sits there waiting for it to wind down and do something else. Our God actually is very much in touch. And this psalm says that, basically, because the Hebrew is much better than our English translation. I mean, our English is made to make it clipped and short and understandable. But it really means that he wants to know, he wants to be known, and he wants, you know, it's that intimate, that friend, that compassionate thing, that word know conveys in Hebrew. He completely cares for us. That's what that conveys. And the, as I said, when we, you have to unpack it a bit to get, you know, the English out of it. It also looks forward. Whoops. I wonder, was Jesus thinking of this psalm when he taught his disciples on the mountain, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are. Was there a sort of a link back? Also, you know, when he talks about those who hear these words of mine and does them, it's like the tree planted. You know, Jesus referred, in the Gospels, there are about 40, depending on how you number them, about 43, 45 direct references where Jesus picks a scripture and repeats it out, a text. But far more than that, actually, I believe that everything that Jesus said was rooted back in scripture. And it's an interesting time. How about the phrase, I will make you fishers of men? Now, though you can't find a verse in the Old Testament, because that's the Bible Jesus was using, there are two references that are very interesting. There's one in Jeremiah 16. There's another one in Ezekiel 47, the picture of the water coming out of the temple. And as it goes through, how this water, pure water, the flow of the Spirit of God coming out of the temple and going down, and it talks about the fishermen on the banks where they spread their nets and gather the... And the picture is of a gathering in. And what did Jesus say? I will make you fishers of men. I wonder, did Jesus have in mind that picture of Ezekiel 47? We know that Jesus was well-versed in the scripture. He was well-versed at the age of 12, let alone anywhere, any other age, when he went up to the temple and he confounded the powers that be. So, every word that he spoke was rooted and grounded in Scripture, that deep knowledge of Scripture. I don't know if you've ever wondered, what was he doing for those 30-something years before he appeared on the scene? I think one thing, he was soaking in the Word of God. Well, he's the Word of God anyway, but he's the Word of God incarnate, the Word made flesh and dwells among us, as John tells us. But I think he was also learning it. He was also memorizing and taking it in more. And in fact, that's what this whole psalm, Psalm 1, revolves around and says what this man is like. So let's move on a bit further into the look at this psalm. So being blessed or being happy. We note, first of all, that there are some negative remarks. Things were the one who isn't, who is wise isn't doing. First thing is walking. Watch where you're walking on the sinner's pathway. Now, it doesn't mean you don't make friends with sinners. What it means is you're in cahoots with them. You're adopting their ideas, adopting their lifestyle and their principles. That's what that means. And then he goes on and says, there aren't watch what you're standing in. Standing is an idea about being firm and resolute and holding an idea, yeah? And then there's a third metaphor used, dodgy seating. Watch where you're seating. Seating in the seat of mockers. Just a note, and this is note to self, really, because I actually kind of, I'm a bit wired into irony, unfortunately. I like satirical comedy as well, unfortunately, but you got to watch it. Because that stuff is corrosive. Note to self. It's corrosive. And see, the blessed person doesn't do those things. That's what that Psalm verse 1 says. But there are some positive things. Positive results. And we find this in verse 3. First of all, we find his delight is in his portion, in the law, the law of God. We find that he's also planted, or they are planted like a tree. And the picture is of this tree drawing water from and planted with sturdiness and firmness. I know all about planting trees. I've done plenty of that in my lifetime. And probably will continue to do plenty of that. And, you know, when you go and plant a tree, if you think about it, I do a talk called the Care and Management of Trees and Shrubs. And one of the things that I say when I talk, telling people about planting trees and shrubs is put into their idea that you're putting this plant, which is fairly long-lived. I mean, if you're putting an oak tree in the ground, you could be putting it there for anything up to 1,000 years plus, okay? This is your one chance to affect it for the positive when you plant it. So prepare well, feed it well, and support it well. It's very important, okay? So I know what tree planting is all about. And God is saying, I'm wanting to plant you well. I've got stuff for you that will nourish you and feed you and draw you up. I've got a stake, which might be very uncomfortable, will point you in the right direction and make sure your leader goes to the light. And then we also find that fruitfulness is his promise. Fruitfulness is his promise. Okay, the other thing, just a remark I made there. Walking, when you read in the Bible, walking, about sitting, and about standing, okay, they are meaning your daily life. They're a Hebrew metaphor. And where you've got all three of them, he's actually saying this is really important. In writing and delivering speeches, the power of three is very important. Three ways of saying the same idea reinforces it, okay? So here is the author of someone saying it very, very important. This is important. Watch where you stand, watch where you walk, watch where you stand, and watch where you sit. Watch your daily life, okay? So let's go on. And just go dig a bit further and deeper into it. So as you can see, this whole psalm actually is built, or what I want to say is this whole psalm is built around a series of word pictures that shows a daily life, a conversation, and a garden. We are like all of those things in God. We're on a journey. I mean, very often, one of the songs I noticed, it's quite funny how actually two things that seem opposite are actually balanced together. You know, we talk about wanting to go back to our first love, but actually God wants us to go deeper into. You know, there's this sort of contrast. And it's what you're saying is that we need to go on, but that's what we need to develop more and see develop, that love of God and that depth of God. So we need to be, so we're walking, standing, sitting, and we're planted and we have seasons. We need to be walking in the right direction. We need to be standing upright, sitting pretty, sitting in the right place. Going to be like an established tree. This is what this psalm tells us in seasonal fruitfulness. So these, I think, are the marks of godly happiness. These are the things that God gives us, are God's markers of happiness. So you might ask a question. No, you're not asking. So you might ask the question, what causes this godly happiness to come about? Okay. Well, Psalm 2 gives us the answer. And in fact, Psalm 1 gives us the answers, and you need to look at verse 2. Also, we're going to look along the way, just to so you can get your thumb in your Bible where you're at John 6, 63 and John 16, 13, and maybe other verses we go. Okay? So, here's the bit. Psalm verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on the law day and night. The tree is the tree because he's doing Psalm 2. Okay? It's not because it's sort of happy and fluffy. The reason you're a tree is because of verse 2, sorry. Okay? It's very important. His delight. You know, just think a minute. What things delight you? Got something that come to mind? Anything that delights you? Cricket. Who said cricket? How did they do last night? All right. That wasn't so delightful then, was it? Oh, dear. But there are many things that delight us. And do you know, have you got something in your mind that you're thinking about that delights you? Go on, have a go. You can do it. Got something there? Well, you don't have to say, cats, right? Fine. You don't have to shout out. Have you got just hold something in your mind that's delightful to you? Now, what I want to ask you the question, is God's word when you come to it like that? Now, I don't want to bring condemnation on you, but that's That delight, as you come to God's word, is the delight he wants you to have and he's got for you. It's his promise. And it's a kind of a result as you come to it, as you come to God's word. His delight is going to come on it. Because you see, his delight is on his word as well. And this person meditates day and night. And again, we're into metaphor land here. Day and night means it's in constant happening. Wherever he's sort of sparing, it's in his thoughts. It's in his DNA. It's in his makeup. He's a bit like a stick of rock. If you cut it through, you know, the Blackpool stick of rock, wherever you cut Blackpool stick of rock, you'll see Blackpool in it. Yeah, you've got the picture there. That's this guy or this person. As he meditates, as he's churning these things over. Now, you're not going to be able to meditate on God's word unless you've got God's word in your heart. Because it doesn't come just like out of the air. It actually comes by reading it, by taking it in our hands, and by diligently giving ourselves to read it. It's part of this work to do. Work is not a bad thing. Just on note, it says there, his delight is in the law of the Lord. The Hebrew word is Torah, and it means law. It can mean sort of justice law, but a better understanding is instruction, guidance, and training. And in fact, when you look at, because the word Torah is not in Greek, in Hebrew, you have, you know, words, then you have what they call root words. So the root, the word that comes from. And the word that Torah comes from is a word called yara, and it means, it's a picture of something being thrown and hitting the target. It's being guided. That's the picture, okay? It's about guidance. That's where it comes from. And God's law is to be like that. It's to be instruction, guidance. How to do it right. How not to stand in the way of sinners. How not to walk the wrong way. How not to sit with the mockers. That's what God's law gives us. The word law can kind of bring the hackles up on lots of people. Don't let it bring the hackles up. God's word is perfect. You see, if Jesus is the word made flesh, he's the one who wrote the whole thing anyway. Okay? So allow God's law, allow his word, allow his guidance, his instruction to come into your heart. And you do that by allowing it to come into your eyes and into your mind. And by faith and the Holy Spirit works a wonderful work. It's not just your own work. It's not just you doing it, but the Holy Spirit does it in you. Just a note on the, just a note, you might say, might go away with the idea, and please don't go away with this idea that I'm saying don't have non-Christian friends. That is plainly not what I want to say this morning. That, if you don't take that message away, please do not take that message. What I'm trying to say is, it's very important. In fact, how are you going to evangelize without any non-Christian friends? How are you going to share the good news if you don't? So it's plainly not that. What it's saying is being so absorbed by them that you absorb their ideas. Now, I don't know whether you've looked or heard stuff that's going on recently, especially, well, all the stuff that's kind of going on, and the morals are slipping very quickly in a very bad direction, in a very anti-biblical direction. And it's a very dangerous one. And I think that's why we need to be so grounded in the Word of God, to hear what God is saying. Because there are so many voices saying what God isn't saying, okay? But we need to be friends. But if we get into God's Word and know what God is saying, what his Word does say, as we share with them, not in a negative, not in a condemnatory way, but as we share with good news, the freedom that God has given us, so we bring salvation to them. So we bring the message of hope to them. That's the point. That's the point of being blessed and happy. So what do you say about John then? Well, this is Jesus speaking. He said, the Spirit gives life. It's in John 6:63. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and life, if you have the AV, or they are full of the spirit and life, NIV version. The th- things that he said, he was so soaked in God's word. The scripture was so much a part of his being. Of course, as I said before, John in the beginning talks about him being the word, and in the beginning was the word was made flesh, and so on. But I think he kind of must have laid that stuff, aside, and I think he came in and he started to be diligent learning scripture. Now, of course, that's the thing that's on my heart. So you'd say, Dave, of course you're going to say that. But the words that he was speaking to them, he was speaking the scripture, but they were filled with the Spirit. And that's what he wants us to do. As we talk and share the good things that we find that God gives us in his word each day, as we share them, they become spirit and they become life to people and they meet people's needs. Have you ever had those times, I'm sure you have, where you've just been chatting to someone and they said, I really found that helpful. That's just what I needed. Have you had those experiences? Yeah, I'm sure you have. God wants to speak those things. He wants to do that more and more. Jesus did it all the time. That was Jesus' kind of thing. Because the words that he spoke were so part of him and so flowing in the Holy Spirit, full of the Spirit, that they spoke spirit and they spoke life. Jesus also said this, I tell you, the Son can do nothing of himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. Okay? How did he see the Father doing them? Well, miracles happened. But I believe he saw them in the scripture. Again, you read the Gospels, and Jesus was saying, look, this, he picks the scripture up and saying, well, this is what I was telling you about. This is what I've been showing you. This is how it works out. Even into the Acts it goes on when Peter on the day of Pentecost, and he says, you know, they come up with all their ideas of what was happening there. And he said, no, this is that which Joel spoke, or spoke of in the prophets, pointing back to Joel. That's where we need to be at. So we need to see what Father is doing in the context of his word. Okay, this is where blessedness, this is where the happiness comes from. And the Holy Spirit also joins in with that. The Holy Spirit is coming and he will lead you into all truth. He will not speak of his own words, but he will speak what he hears. And he will tell you of the things to come. John 16, verse 13. So the Holy Spirit is saying, you know, they're all in harmony with what he's written in his word. So what do we find with this psalm again? As I said, you know, we start off in verse 1, the things you're not supposed to, the negative part of it. Psalm 2, it's not verse 2, where you see the positives come in. And then verse 3, where it talks about how this person looks. He's like a tree planted, and he's strong and he's firm. Contented. That's what this happiness is about. That's what this blessedness is about. New every morning are the blessings that he wants to give us. As we open up, come and open up his scripture again and allow his word to speak to us. And we carry that through the day. So, what am I saying? Well, if you want to be happy or blessed, like a tree planted in a good place, and I'm assuming that you actually feel like that, but you want to go on, that is contented and flourishing in whatever season you are, cultivate a life in God's written, abiding, and proceeding word. God's written, abiding, and proceeding word. Okay, cultivate a life there. Allow that to soak your being. It does take time. Because I've found you can't read the whole Bible in one go. Okay, you can't read the whole lot in one go. If you have a problem kind of being regular with reading God's word, can I make a suggestion? Just try reading the Gospels. Read Jesus' words. I spent a whole year, was it last year, I think? Last year, just reading the Gospels. And it was eye-opening. It really was amazing. And basically what I did was I found a thing, there was an app somewhere on, and I'll probably be able to find it, that worked out how many chapters you had to read the Gospels, all four Gospels in 1 month. So I basically read the four Gospels 12 times in a year. and you really kind of pick up what Jesus is saying. You kind of find it sort of meshing together after a while. And it's a really useful way. So try that. It's about 3 chapters a day you have to read, just to keep on board. And if you get behind, don't worry. Just pick up and get on. Just go. You know, just don't worry about it. Don't get any condemnation. But you'll find, as you soak up the words of Jesus. I mean, you know, I think Simon Peter nailed it when he said this. Where else can we go? For you have the words of eternal life. I mean, what a statement to make. Where else can we go? For you have the words of eternal life. So, I hope you've picked up an idea of what the Bible's perspective on being blessed or being happy is hearing God's word and allowing it to take root in your life, to produce fruit, because that's what we're supposed to do. You know, when I plant a tree or a shrub, for instance, if I plant an apple tree, I'm not expecting it to throw stinger nettles, all right? I want apples off it. I've got a purpose. And God is planting his word in your life so that you will become fruitful. And fruit has lots of images. I can't go and discuss fruitfulness, but maybe I'll do that another time. But God wants you to become fruitful. And there's great joy and happiness in being a fruitful bough. Okay, being a fruitful person. As Peter said, where else can we go? For you have the words of eternal life. I'd like to pray I wonder if we can stand. And I just felt that this issue of being consistent in reading the word of God was an important thing. It is important. I mean, that's a bit of an understatement. It's vitally important. And even maybe coming more so vitally important. At the moment, we have great freedom in this country. Who's to say that we're going to get to a time, could get to a time where Bibles are banned and things like that? And where are you going to go then? We've got plenty of time now. We've got time. So what I want to do is for those folks, and I don't want you to kind of get under, oh, I'm poor old me, I don't do enough, it's not that at all. What I want to do is pray a blessing over you. I want to pray a blessing that releases God's word, God's written word to you, that as you come and take it, and if it's been dry to you before, or if it was fresh at one time and it's become dry, or if you think, well, I just cannot get my head around it, I just want to ask God's blessing on that to you as you begin to open up his word, okay? And as you begin to receive that, he'll give you insight, and he will take you to new levels and take you forward in your walk with him, and above all, in your love for him, when you see how great and how good a God he is. Is that good? Would that be okay? So there's no condemnation, because what will happen is you will go on and you will stumble. It doesn't matter. Keep going. You know, if you're on the walk with God, if you fall, generally you're going to fall closer to him. Okay? If I'm walking towards God, if I'm walking away from him, I'm going to fall further away. Okay, but if I'm walking towards God, I'm going to fall close to him. He will pick you up and set you back on your feet again so you can walk on with him. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it kind of, that's been my experience. Okay, but God wants to release that. Father, I just thank you for your word, the word that brings life, the word that shows us the greatness of our God and the loveliness of Jesus. And Father, I just now, over these folks here, whatever heart, wherever people are, Father, I just release now a revelation and an understanding and a new desire, a new delighting in your word, that these folks truly will be, and I included, will be truly trees of righteousness, planted by streams of living water, that we might draw that water up, that we might hold our leaves and not shed it when the hot times come, and that we might be fruitful for you and to you and with you. Father, for those folks who have been intermittent and kind of find your word hard work, Father, I just release them now from that. Father, I just come against the lie of the enemy that says this is too hard to get into, this is too hard to understand. And I just speak the mind of Christ to you. Be released right now in Jesus' name. Receive his word, that word implanted that dwells and grows into this righteous thing, that grows into the and causes you to be like Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.